We are four AR people, and we have a great podcast ahead. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everybody. The Four AR People podcast is back. We're back, and kick it over to my colleagues because we have some new faces here. So we've got Sam Watson and Aaliyah Rowe, and I will kick it over to Aaliyah. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Aaliyah. So happy to be here. I am the digital media manager for Four AR People, and you might catch me on a TikTok or two. I'll kick it over to Sam.
I'm Sam Watson. I'm the content director for 4AR People. And so if you read our live threads, that's usually me suffering through whatever mischief the legislature is putting us through, just for you guys.
Oh, Sam gets carpal tunnel just to bring you all the live news from our leg. We appreciate you, Sam. Well, Sam, you want to get us started? What happened this week?
Sure. Yeah. So the fiscal session started, kind of three big things happened in the only 2 days that we had of session. On Wednesday, as Jenny said, Sarah Sanders gave her State of the State address, which we have lots of thoughts and feelings about. And then the next day, the Joint Budget Committee and the Joint Performance Review Subcommittees really had lots to say about all of the fighting around the Department of Corrections and the Board of Corrections and all of that drama. And then, interestingly, the Senate sent most of the resolutions regarding crypto regulation over to the House for their consideration. So we'll dive into that as well. But we're going to start with that State of the State. Jenny, do you have any thoughts?
I do. I have so many thoughts. One thing I really like to do is just observe the general vibe of the environment when we have big kind of ceremonial things like this. So it was her very first State of the State. She did address the General Assembly last year, but that was her inauguration speech. And when that happened in January of 2023, when she entered the chamber on the House side, I mean, it was like Super Bowl. I mean, people were hooting and hollering, and there were like yips and screams, you know, like the girl at the concert that's like, whoop! Like a lot of that, a lot of people like trying to get a selfie with the governor behind them as she's walking in. It was high energy, a lot of good vibes from the majority of people in the chamber. This was remarkably different, in my opinion. I mean, I think it was just this respectful applause that went on until she made her way to the front. But it never really went beyond just the basic claps. There was definitely no hooting and hollering. There was no like selfie station situation. And I think that is telling. That is telling of what the reaction to her first year in office has been, even from members of her own party. She entered office with endless rapport. And I think a lot of people trying to angle for, you know, teachers' pet position in the legislature, but that has changed. And now there are some contentious feelings there. And we'll talk about that here in a minute when we dive into learns and Board of Corrections stuff. But yeah, I noticed a big difference in the vibe.
Yeah, for sure. I saw several legislators just not applauding at all throughout the speech that from her own party as well. And so I definitely think you're right. But yeah, she really dove into learns and tried to tout learns as this, you know, titanic change in the education system for the state. We're on record as somewhat disagreeing with that position. Aaliyah, what did you think about her learns positions?
Her learns positions, I thought that like some of those stats are pretty wild to hear. She said that we went from 48th to top fifth in like 1 year of like literacy, right? But it's like, if you really look, we're still like one of the last in education. And so I thought that was kind of crazy. And like, where is she getting these stats? Like, obviously biased, like partisan polls and stuff. So I don't know. I didn't really buy it personally, but what did y'all think about that?
Not buying what she was selling.
Not at all.
One thing that I noticed, you know, the talking points around her office from learns. Well, first let me back up. This is just absolutely stunning to me, is that after her signature piece of legislation was passed, she rolled out a public relations campaign after it became law to tout how good it was. To me, that says that you passed a stinky egg, right? And people are upset about it. So you have some damage control to do. So that was really interesting. So we always hear this like, oh, it's this big, dramatic, bold investment in education, the biggest in public education we've ever had in Arkansas. But one thing that always gets left out of that is that when the joint education committees meet to do this big, deep dive into our education system every year, the recommendation was a larger investment than what Learns even was. So they fell short technically when she passed Learns. That wasn't even what the both committees from either chamber was recommending to the state. They fell short of that.
Yeah. And that investment is all misappropriated too, right? It's all going to vouchers and trying to manage this teacher pay raise. Obviously we're in support of a 50,000 starting salary for teachers, but as teacher pay advocates who know what they're talking about will tell you, it's a little more complicated than that. How do you manage raises for really experienced teachers? How do you provide support to poor districts to make sure they can pay their teachers? And so just saying, patting yourself on the back and saying, hey, oh, we got $50,000 for teachers is like a tenth of the whole story. It's like a tenth. This is not how policy works. You can't just wave your hand and create $50,000 for everybody and not think about year two or year three or year 10 for these really experienced teachers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. I mean, and she's also really touting this whole people have an education choice now. Education freedom is the phrase that she uses because so many people are signing up for her vouchers. But, you know, a bad policy being the only policy doesn't make it good policy, right? This is now kind of the only option that a lot of these folks have. And some folks don't even have that option. You know, we're hearing stories of people from super rural districts that like there's no private or charter school near them. And so vouchers don't help them at all. You know, somebody from Prescott, say, you know, isn't going to drive to Texarkana or Little Rock for school every day. That's just.
The numbers recently show that the one school that has received the most in state funds from vouchers is Little Rock Christian Academy, which just happens to be where the governor's children go. So that was
wow. Fancy that. Wow.
So weird.
Crazy how that happens. Yeah. So there was nothing, we were expecting nothing else from the governor surrounding Learns, but it was still kind of wild to just see her up there doing it, still trying to sell the law. One thing that I wasn't expecting though was she's really on this anti-big tech role and said that there was going to be some interesting policy coming down the pipeline over the next couple of years regarding that. Wasn't sure where she's going with that.
Yeah, to me, like the vibe was like kids need to play outside more or something like that. I was like, we care about the kids and they need to play outside. And I think that's like, okay, sure. But I am a social media girly. And so I know social media can be like toxic or whatever and like not good for kids. So I understand that. But it's like all about the attentions for me. It's like, why are you actually doing it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole rhetoric around like parental rights only comes up when it benefits their position. And like, these are decisions that parents typically make with like in conversation with their children. This is going to be a loss to you. You're going to lose and you're just going to cost taxpayers so much money fighting this in court and you're going to lose it. None of these lawsuits across the country, I guess we're technically still first in the nation, but like the lawsuit is we've lost at every level of the courts it's been to so far, and no reason to think any other similar lawsuit is going to be at all successful.
That's a really good point that the like posturing through certain kinds of policy proposals that are not really substantive, they're more performative. I mean, I understand that there's a place for that for politicians because you do leverage your position to make points and you use policy to do that, even if it doesn't have a chance of passing, say if you are a legislator. But it's entirely different when you're the governor and your policy will pass. But it's not going to go anywhere and you're going to have to defend it in court and then use taxpayer resources to defend policy that's not actually going to go anywhere. It's going to get struck down. I mean, that just doesn't really seem fiscally responsible. And I don't know, to kind of come full circle.
I So I think it's cool that we kind of have a celebrity governor. I wish she was better, but it's cool to have a celebrity governor. So I was like paparazzi. I was like getting videos and stuff. And I think the vibes were good. I thought it was really cool when she like hugged Jamie Scott. Like for some reason, I thought that was like so cute. But like overall, it's like you can't ignore the lies and the content of the speech, but the vibes were good. And the first family was front and center. It'd be cool if like she told the truth,
Yeah, would be. Was there anything you were expecting her to talk about that she didn't talk about?
I really thought she'd talk more about like maternal health care or like even bring up like, I don't know, like potential things that could be on the ballot because like all these petitions going around or something. Like I would think she said something about that, but she didn't. So.
Yeah, I was surprised that the direct democracy petitions didn't get even a shout out to the concept of democracy. It makes you wonder if she likes the concept of direct democracy.
Yeah, I feel like her jokes that she tried to make didn't really hit. Like she said something about
Yeah.
Sopranos and it went over my head. I was like, is that supposed to be a joke?
She definitely has like a droll sense of humor. Like it's very dry, and I think it appeals to it like it doesn't necessarily work in large groups, but I think it works really well in small, like curated groups. Like I have seen those jokes land. Because they're like witty, kind of snide remarks, which I actually really like. I enjoy that kind of humor too. It's just not necessarily palatable for a a room of hundreds of people.
Well, that was her speech, and that was the start of our week in the fiscal session. And right after that, we dove into all of this corrections stuff. So, Jenny, what are your thoughts on how the legislature is kind of inserting itself into this fight between Board, Department of Corrections, and the governor and the AG?
Yeah, more drama for our mamas here. Like this is wild. I don't know like if people have been following this. It's very inside baseball, but essentially this Protect Arkansas Act, which is really just prison expansion and parole reform, was the governor's other piece of signature legislation last year. There was this big like press conference last year where she stood by the AG and the AG kind of like manically rattled off all of this stuff about like people on dirt bikes and the Chick-fil-A drive-through while he's trying to get his chicken biscuit and how crime's like just out of control and blah, 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 repeat offenders. So there is, of course, this rhetoric coming from state government, from the AG, and from the governor in particular that it's dangerous to live in Arkansas, especially if you live in Little Rock, that crime is out of control, that is the scare tactic, the propaganda tactic that they've been using to justify this policy that is really, really only serves private prison system. What happened was that she hired this guy from Arizona to be her Secretary of Corrections and to do all of her bidding to get this work done. He was kind of rubbing the wrong way with the Board of Corrections, which is this independent body appointed by the governor or past governors, and they have total autonomy. They were wildly offended that this person that she hired was working for her instead of working for them, and there was a rub there, and they suspended him. They were like, bye, you work for us and you're not doing your job. And then all hell broke loose. And it was this total fight between the governor and the Board of Corrections, who the chair, by the way, was appointed by Sarah's dad, former governor Mike Huckabee. And so it was just this banana situation where it's like these old guard Republicans are really frustrated with her trying to like weaponize these systems for her advantage, from like a PR standpoint. The lawyer that re represents a state entity is usually the AG, but in this situation, the AG was clearly on the side of Governor Sanders and not the board. They hired outside counsel, and then they got kind of thrown under the bus because apparently they were allowed legally to hire outside counsel, but they didn't have any money to pay for it. So basically the legislature has entered the chat, and this is a big fight between the Board of Corrections and the governor's office and the AG. It's already a love triangle there. And then here comes the General Assembly. But to what end? Like, to what end? Nothing. Again, this board has full autonomy. I don't know if they're going to get like a slap on the wrist or if there's going to be legislation on how a board, an independent board, can procure outside counsel moving forward. And that's what they were trying to say yesterday. But all of this is very complicated, and it just is like, again, total inside baseball, and it has really created a lot of fissures in the GOP. It's interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think this is going to end up with creating some real daylight between some of the GOP senators and representatives and the governor's office. You know, they kind of rubber stamped a lot of her legislation in the last general session. But I think this is kind of an underlying theme that if you get to go to any of these meetings in person, you really get a sense of the vibe in the room that there's a growing number of GOP representatives and senators that are really frustrated with the status quo, how deferential the legislature has been with Sarah Sanders. And I think this corrections dust up is kind of going to be a earthquake, if you will, create a lot of cracks between them and her office. I keep thinking about, you know, Jimmy Hickey at one of the joint budget meetings was just had this bone between his teeth about, you know, the difference between 4.2 million and 3 million for county jail, you know, reimbursements, which is, you know, $1.2 million is nothing, is chump change in this level of budget. But he is so frustrated with the status quo and with the way things are going that he would not let it go. And I think that's just kind of indicative of his broader frustration. And I think they're inserting themselves into this because with all this drama, you know, nothing is actually getting done to, you know, solve crime rates or solve any kind of problem whatsoever, right? And there are ways to help. There are, you know, things we can do. But if we're all looking, you know, trying to figure out who did what, when, and whether or not it was illegal, then we're not actually focused on the problems at all. The final big theme of the week is everyone's favorite. I didn't know anything about this a year ago, and now I know everything about it subject, and that is crypto. Because last general session, the legislature rushed through the Arkansas Data Centers Act, Act 851. There were no votes in the Senate. There was one no vote in the House, two
Wild.
non-voting senators, and six non-voting House members.
Wow.
That was the vote breakdown. I pulled that. I was a little curious because this has gone so poorly. And yep, they really there's some egg on the legislature's face for this one. What the original act did was basically make it illegal for local governments, county, city governments to regulate noise, pollution, and any other kind of nuisance laws that were directly aimed at crypto and data mining centers. And so, of course, they all moved in immediately. They bought up a bunch of cheap land close to water and power sources. And, you know, there are reports that they're just like dumping like storage containers and filling them up with the, you know, these computers and fans. And residents are furious. It's really complicated, really frustrating stuff. But Jenny, what are your thoughts?
This is like emblematic of why it's problematic to have big lobby have such outsized influence over state policy. You know, they find a legislator, they like pitch it, and this is lobby work. This is all it is, right? Lobby is just like a special interest trying to get a member of the legislature to run a piece of legislation and then to whip votes around it. But what is missing in all of this with big lobby is the due diligence. It's the due diligence on the behalf of state representatives who represent their people and their districts, and they need to, one, read the legislation that they're running. I'm not implying that Senator Bryan didn't do this, but this has happened before where someone cannot answer basic questions about their own bill. And it's because they didn't write it. It's because they actually don't know the impact. This is also indicative of why it's so important that we have robust discussion in committee meetings and why Arkansans need to pay attention to what is happening in state government. Because, you know, I mean, to be quite honest, we miss this. It's our job to comb through all of this stuff and find stuff that looks fishy or sus and like go, okay, wait a minute. What would this do? Or has anybody thought about this? Or to dig into big lobby, who has the motivation or the intention to do X, Y, and Z? And is that actually good for Arkansans? We miss this too. So, I mean, I have a little bit of egg on my face. Like, we didn't pay any attention to crypto mining. This is just a negative example of why we need to pay attention on the front end and not just on the back end, right? Like, we could have avoided a lot of this if we had just asked some of these questions before.
Yeah. Aaliyah, you are one of the youth. Do you know anything about crypto? Because I don't. I don't, or at least I didn't until this week.
I don't know anything about crypto. Like, is this Bitcoin? Like, is it the
Yes.
same thing?
It is Bitcoin, Aaliyah. And I even read that in North Carolina, in this Appalachian town, like right on the border with Tennessee. So it's Tennessee Valley Authority that does all of the grid there. And there was like rolling blackouts during a really bad winter storm to maintain the grid, but the freaking data mining center never lost power. So like residents were mandated to have their power cut off, but nobody was like, well, let's just leave the data center running. It's fine. Like, what the heck? That's messed
Yeah,
up.
it's a deeply frustrating, like, I think these lobbies use how complicated the underlying concept is to kind of make it sound like the whole thing is complicated, where it's like, at the end of the day, it's not that complicated to think that you don't want this, jet engine running within your town, right? And so this, the senators have come back now and are willing to kind of crack open the sacredness of fiscal session being for fiscal matters to try and solve this now before the next general session's a whole year away, right? Senator Missy Irvin has kind of seen what seems to me to be the middle road where it would place statewide noise regulations, right? So it would cap the number of decibels that are allowed to, I guess, exist within a town or municipality. And then it kind of sets up down the line, an opportunity for the state to regulate more carefully, like get together some kind of regulatory body. And then, bless his soul, Senator Brian King is just going whole hog and
Doing the Lord's work, Senator.
doing the Lord's work. He is functionally trying to like ban it altogether, which I don't know if that's gonna fly, but he has a number of resolutions. So yeah, Brian King is really kudos to him. He sees the egg on his own face, is like, well, we're the legislators and it's our responsibility to fix it. So all five of those, as well as Senator Bryant's and Senator Irvin's, passed, and so they'll get voted on in the House on Monday, I believe. And if the House, wh whichever ones the House passes by a two-thirds majority, will then go to committee in bill form. So that is kind of a developing theme within the fiscal session, but we'll be watching it as closely as we can and also teaching ourselves more about crypto so we can be more informed about it and not let this happen again because this sucks.
Do people get like rich off this stuff?
I think so.
Apparently, yeah. So that is pretty much week one in a nutshell for the 2024 fiscal session. Any closing thoughts, Aaliyah, Jenny? Other than the fact that Sarah Sanders is still a liar.
Jenny, you take it away.
Well, this is random, but I was always operating under the assumption that when entering the House chamber, the legislators who are women had to cover their arms with a blazer. I remember that like being, I don't know, I've just like talked about it with my friends who are legislators in the past, or like, and I know the Senate can have different rules than the House and often does, but I noticed in assembly on Wednesday that there were several legislators not wearing a blazer. So right to
Not you,
their arm.
tattletaling.
I mean, it was very hot in there. I think there was like double the amount of people normally, but that is my takeaway, is I would like to know if the rules have changed on dress code.
What an interesting takeaway. My
I
takeaway. Mine is like, she is like, she looks like good. Like, she
Who
looks
are
like
you talking about, the
really,
governor?
yeah. Like, she walked in, I was like, oh my God, she looks different.
You were legitimately starstruck.
I was,
You
and
were
that's
like, you were freaking
crazy.
out. You were like, oh my God, it's a celebrity.
oh my God. I'm like standing over her, like all the videos.
Yeah, we're all up
But,
in the gallery with our phones.
I don't agree with her. But she is a celebrity. And
No,
if I had the
no cap,
opportunity to
you
get her
thought it
autograph,
was cool. You thought it was
you
cool.
said no cap.
I did.
Yeah, no Kizzy. I thought it was cool. And that's my takeaway. Sam, what's your takeaway?
It's gonna be a short and not very sweet fiscal session, I think. That's my takeaway. I think the legislators are gonna flex their muscles and see what how they can break away from the governor and her agenda. As a preview, at the end of this session, they will have elections for leadership for the next 2 years. Representative Matthew Shepard is stepping down from his position as Speaker of the House, and there is a three-way fight for that position, and so we'll see how that goes. To my mind, the more interesting fight is going to happen on the Senate side, where Bart Hester is getting challenged, at least so far, only by Senator Terry Rice. But I mentioned Jimmy Hickey's general frustration with the governor earlier. Terry Rice is one of his allies. And so if Terry Rice manages to unseat Senator Hester, then we might see a lot more daylight between the governor and the legislature, or at least the Senate next general session, which will be very interesting to watch. And so if we hear anything else in our little scuttlebutt, we'll bring it to you on next week's podcast. But that's coming up at the end of the fiscal session.
That's right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We look forward to next week. We'll probably be talking about maybe a lectern audit next week, to
Oh,
be
fingers crossed.
determined. Stay tuned. More to come.
Thank you for watching or listening to our weekly roundup. We hope to do more of these soon, and we hope y'all keep coming back to listen. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media accounts at 4ARPeople on almost everything and at 4ARPeople1 on Twitter.